Master training teaches me to keep my nose in my own business. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Master training teaches me to keep my nose in my own business. It's so easy to watch other people and look at other people and see how other people live their lives. It's so easy to look at other people and say what they're doing is quite important and what they're doing is something that we'd like to do ourselves. Well, truly, it is not. Truly, you would not like to do what other people are doing. I would not like to do what other people are doing. I would like to do what I am doing. I'd like to do what turns me on. Do I want to sit all day at a typewriter and write stories and write books and have these books come out just like machines and have them be famous books, just tremendously well-written books, like many of the authors who write many, many books, not serials, just many, many books on many subjects? And we read those books and we just are profoundly amazed at the genius that these people are expressing in doing it. Well, what they're doing is they're taking their idea and they're expressing it. Now you say, well, that certainly is going contrary to what you just said. They're putting their nose in other people's business. Well, yes, some people do. Some people do write autobiographies, they write biographies, they write stories of other people's lives, they write about things, and in writing about these things, they're talking about what other people did and do, and oftentimes they're making judgments as to whether what these people did or do are right or wrong. But basically, the great writers are the writers who write perhaps history. The writers who write history, but they put a human being in it. They put real people in there, and they're not really real people, but they're a conglomeration of people. People who might have done those things, who might have done those issues. And they write that so charmingly and so eventfully that as we read it, the, say, American history comes alive, because there are real people in it. Oh, they say that this, many of the generals, many of the presidents, many of the people who were significant in the beginning of a country, that these people are real people, but actually not. Perhaps that they could have been. Perhaps they could have been that real, but actually not. When a writer writes a story about someone, he has a general idea of what that person is. He has a general idea of that person's desires and values. He has a general idea of where that person is taking himself in his life. And he writes that story. And he writes that story and he gathers in all of those evidences that show that that person knew where he was going, knew what he was going to do, knew how he was going to do it. And they give that person sort of a living feeling, a living ambience that makes them come alive to the reader. Now, in real life, that person may not have had those attitudes, may not have had those symbols, but it's quite likely they did, because the author is taking things in context to the time that he's writing. And he's saying that this is perhaps how these people thought. But if he were really a in-depth author, would he look at what caused people to think thoughts that made them the masters and the geniuses of their time? What attitudes did people have in their hearts and their mind that made them the masters of their time and their life experiences? Because we look at people like, we look at people who are outstanding people, who have done outstanding things in time. And we look at Mr. Morris, and we see that he was a great artist. And he did great paintings, and he did paintings as good as any of the European masters. And he did portraits, and he did areas. Well, he wanted to have a contract with the federal government in the United States, but one of the legislators held out for having a European artist of renown do the painting because they felt it would be more significant, never realizing that this man's paintings far outshone many of the European artists that were considered great. So his fellow dropped being a painter. He stopped cold in being an artist. And what did he do? He went in to design the telegraph, to design the Morse code, named after him, to use the first method of technique of sending information, letters, sending details across long distances by wire. The telephone hadn't quite come into its own yet, but Morse code and sending by the code wires was fantastic. Now, when you write the story of such a man, are you going to say how he was really disheartened and unhappy that he could not do the paintings he wanted to do for the federal government, and that he gave it all up with an anguish and with an unhappiness? Or are you going to say that he truly was a master in training, and his training as being an artist stand in many halls around the United States and are recognized by many, but very few realize that the name Morse is the same man who created the Morse code for telegraphy. It's absolutely fantastic, but how are we to know? Are we going to stick our nose in other people's businesses and be aware of what they're doing and be interested in what they're doing? Or are we going to be aware of what we can do? Are we going to be aware of where we stand on our ledger of life? Are we going to be the legerdemain who can do the sleight of hand tricks, who can do the magic, who can do the genius things, the little step-by-step things that make great results? Well, it's not by having our nose in other people's business, that's for sure. It's not concerning how they did anything or why they did anything, but it's only concerning what is our dream? How can we stick our nose in our own business and be aware of who we are and what we are and where we're going and why we find life to be so tremendously exciting and so tremendously fulfilling? Oh, you can read the lives of many greats and you'll find that step by step they found themselves. Perhaps as a child they might have shown evidence of their genius, and as adults they might have been a genius early on, or they might not have been a genius until later years. Now, we look at people like Eisenhower, and he was a tremendous leader of men in the army. He was a reasonably good president, as good as most, and after he retired, he went to his farm, and what did he do? He took up painting. Now, whether he was an outstanding painter or not, he had been the President of the United States. He had been the Commander-in-Chief. He had been the General of the Armies. And he led the D-Day motion into France in the Second World War, the winning stroke of the war that took over, that stopped the war in the early days of the World War II. Though the Japanese continued it, he no longer had his work to do. He had done it well. And the people wanted him to be a president because they felt he was a man for leadership at that time. And then he went on into painting, like Churchill went into painting. And like I say, Perhaps it was not that their paintings were so great, but their paintings were of great men. Great men did the painting, and people read into them the genius that perhaps is there or perhaps is not there. But who is to look at any of the paintings that we look at and call them great, and others look at them and call them not very interesting at all? Who is to look at much of the art in the world, which has people who look at it and they say it is good and it's not good? Who is to say that? Who can make that statement and believe in it? Well, certainly not you or I. We can only look in our own world, in our own life experience, and we can say, what have we done that has shown how we feel about anything? Have we worked on, I use this so often, have we worked on mowing the lawn and running the lawnmower one way and the other way across the lawn so that the lawn is perfectly, wonderfully cut, perfectly, wonderfully made into a beautiful pattern? Have we cut and trimmed the edges as a good gardener would do? Have we cleaned up after our work, always cleaned up after our work, rather than leaving it for someone else to do? Should we ever leave our clippings to someone else to pick up? We are not good workmen. We are not people who are proud of what we have done. We are not people who put the finishing touches on our artwork like Steve Jobs put on his computers and on his iMac and iPad and iPod and all of the various iPhones, the various things that he created. He made them masterpieces because he did the very best. He trimmed the edges. He made sure that the flowers were planted in a beautiful array. He allowed for applications to be on his devices so that people could do even more and more wonderful things. And of course, more and more people buying the computers for all the reasons that they have. Many have tried to be like him, and they were very foolish. They felt they were going to take a good idea that has been shown to be a winner and copy it and make it better. Well, rather than do that, if they would take their idea, whatever it is, maybe they have some idea that even exceeds something that Steve Jobs created with his eye conditions. They might create an iBook, and people are working on that. They might create iArt, and you do art on a pad, and people are working on that, and they have those things available too. But someone who carries it to conclusion, who develops it, and who, against all odds, brings it forth so that it can be given to the people, and the people will fall in love with it because the creator fell in love with it. Whenever a creator is trying to copy somebody else, or be like somebody else, or ride in on their shirt tail, people know it. People know that that's not a work of love. That's not a work of genius. That's not a work of magic. They know that's just a commercialization of a project. You and I have the ability to listen to our own heart, to be ourselves and have fun, to find that stroke of genius within us that is going to make its mark in our world. You can be sure that Steve Jobs did not do the things he did totally as a commercial venture. He did them because it struck his heart as something beautiful and glorious, something wonderful, something representative of what the magic that was in his soul. And because of that, people bought it. Because of that, people recognized, here truly is a master consciousness. Here truly is a master out of training who stepped the next step from training into genius expression. You and I, we can do that too. And we do that. And it's up to us to do it in every way of our life. But we have to do it because we fall in love with who and what we are. And we do that today. Have a wonderful day. And fall in love with who and what you are, being yourself and having fun, as no one else can ever do it except you. I love you. I love you. I love you.